This morning we're gonna want to talk about Romans 12, 3 to 8. And, but our lives as an act of worship, do we see our daily lives as an act of worship? Coming here on Sunday is not just the only time we worship God. Every day that should be an act of worship. How we live, how we treat others, how we live for the Lord is an act of worship. It really exposes what we've been saying this morning about the heart of the condition of our heart. How is our condition of our heart today? As we Father, we commit this time to you, Lord. It's we commit our lives to you afresh this morning, Lord. Lord, that you know where we're at with you. You know what's going on in our hearts. You know what's going on, what we're facing. And Lord, we know that you are ever present. And so, Lord, we just pray for Anna and Steve, Emmanuel, Father, that you would give them a safe journey. We pray for Silas, Father, who would be sick. Father, just pray for your quick healing. Lord, we just pray for others that are sick, and Father, that you bring healing and restoration to their bodies. Lord, we just pray that as we even hear your word, Lord, that your word would minister to our souls, and Lord, our eyes would be open more to your truth. And Lord, that we would be ever so surrendered to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. In Romans, the first 11 chapters of Romans is all based on biblical doctrine. So the first 11 chapters of Romans, it's all about biblical doctrine. It's which is very key for any believer. Without the right biblical doctrine, you'll go astray, right? And you'll be caught up in with fine-sounding other doctrines that will lead you away from the truth of Christ. So chapters 1 to 3 is doctrine of the sinful humanity. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, none of us were born perfect. We were all born sinners, and that we needed a redeemer. Chapters 4 to 8 is a doctrine of justification, and that's through faith in Christ Jesus. Only through Christ that we can be justified, just as if we never sinned. He justifies us. Chapters 9 to 11 is a doctrine of Israel, and that the church has not replaced Israel. You know, it's amazing. I listened to so many broadcasts this week, and how many churches and Christians, born-again believers, believe the church has replaced Israel. Like, I can't believe that. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but apparently not reading it. So we know God is not done with Israel. And once the church age is done, right, we live in the church age. When the church gets caught up and meet Christ in there, that's the end of the church age. And then Israel will come back to fulfill the last 7 years of starting from 483 for this last 7 years, the 490 that they owe the Lord. And so God's not done with Israel. And they will be preaching the gospel through Revelation, through the end times. They will be the ones, and they will see great multitudes of people coming to faith. The 144,000 Jewish men will be preaching the gospel. Two witnesses in Israel, in Jerusalem, will be preaching the gospel, talking about repentance. And you see a multitude of people coming to faith. Isn't that exciting? I don't know if I have talked to Braden, that young gentleman that, yeah. Caden. It's him. He's only been saved for 3 months. And I wasn't here today, so I was going to ask him if I want to give a short testimony. Put him on the spot. But it's amazing when we have people coming to faith. And how does that stir us? It's exciting. When somebody comes to faith, it's only the miracle of God, the mercy of God, that brings somebody into the fold. And sometimes we get complacent. I know I've been there. I get complacent. So, in the next five chapters of Romans is about putting into practice what we have learned. So the next five chapters of Romans is how do we respond to the doctrine that we've been taught. Right? And so we're going to read James 1, verse 22 to 25. So we're going to have it on there. But it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So what happens if we are just hearers but not doers of it? It says we're deceiving ourselves. Right? Because we're not putting it into practice. We are deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is or was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this is one who will be blessed in what he does. There's a blessing when we put into practice the word of God and we walk it out. Right? And so we know God, our faith in the Lord grows as we step out in faith. And if we, does that make sense? And so often we don't want to be a doer of the word. I know sometimes I don't want to be. You want to be truthful. Because we are going to go outside of our comfort zone. We don't want to be put out there. We just want to say, Lord, show me how it goes and show me the end result, and then I'll step out. Rather than, hey, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to be obedient to what your word says. I'm going to keep in close contact with you through prayer and meditating on your word. It's amazing how God will use us. We would just simply put our faith in and our trust in. You don't have to know all of it. It's an amazing thing, right? We want to know the end result. I know I do at times. So one of the themes Paul stresses in the five chapters is our personal responsibility regarding how we will treat one another. It's amazing how we'll read that. How we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ is a direct reflection of our relationship with Christ. Chapter 12 is for the believers, not for unbelievers. The next five chapters is not about the unbelievers, but it's for the believers. So if you're a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, how am I going to react when he's speaking to me about this? It's for us now. How am I going to react? How am I going to take hold of this and step out in it? Sometimes we have this expectation of unbelievers that they should live like us. or do the things that we do, or think the way we do. But sometimes even unbelievers act better than believers. So we're going to read Romans 12, 3 to 8. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, and not to think of himself more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly." Sometimes we get very boastful, very proud, and we try and get all the attention or draw the attention to ourselves. But to think soberly, because it's talking about gifts. You know, all of us have gifts. Each one of us has a gift from God. And it's your choice if you're going to use that gift or not use that gift. And so sometimes when we see people with, you know, different gifts, sometimes they get very boastful. And they don't really give God the glory. They just want their own stage to do all these miracles. And but God doesn't really get the glory. It says, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. So God gives us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, individual members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let's use them. If it's prophecy, let him prophesy in a proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We come to we all have a gift. I always ask, do you know what your gift is? Must know, because it will stand out. It's something that you want to do. It's like a burden. You want to, if you are a person who exhorts people, you come alongside people and encourage them in the word. If it is a giver, you like to give whatever you have, and you don't want anything in return. Right? We all have gifts. And we all know that. And sometimes we operate in those gifts without even knowing that it's a gift from God. Think of the church if it was using all its gifts. It would be a different church, wouldn't it? You would see people coming, and you would see a well-oiled machine working in unity. When people are using their gifts properly. I'm not trying to, if you see, there's a lot of false gifts, a lot of churches that aren't using it properly, but if you would use it properly, there's humility, meekness, where everybody's saying, this is from the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives me this gift. I'm using it because of my love for him, and I'm just an instrument for his noble purposes, that he's flowing through me, he's speaking through me. Think of the different ways, how the church would be different. But it takes to take that small faith, that the faith that God has given you, to step out in that gift. Just that one act of obedience. To say, Lord, here I am today. I want you, Lord, I'm surrendering myself to you. Like that last song. Like, Lord, you're my everything. and I want you to be glorified in my life. That people would not really see me. They would hear my voice, but they would see you. You know, we have to come to this realization that we're part of something much bigger than just myself. It's not about us. And so sometimes when we don't want to use our gifts, we don't want to look foolish. Maybe we get proudful. I don't want to look foolish. So pride comes in. Right? And says simply, Lord, I'm going to step it out. We are blessed with a smaller congregation. And I know a lot of us have gifts that we're not using. And what a great place to be stepping out in our gifts, where we know each of us. We all know each other. And what happens if we would step out in those gifts? Where people will, if we're not walking correctly or not, you know, for help correction, exhort us, build us up, so that Christ would be glorified. You know, we're part of a global church. So we're part of we make up the church in a community of other believers. We have three other churches in town that we are very, we pray for one another, we meet regularly with one another. That's a blessing. There is, like, so we make up a body of believers, but we also, there's a global body of believers. Praying for our brothers and sisters who are around the world facing a lot of difficulties. So we're all part of that church. So it's not just us. We have to see the bigger picture. Coming to Christ, it's not about me. It's about my Lord, who saved me, who redeemed me, who justifies me, who has redeemed me. Right? He breaks the chains off my life because of sin that I have allowed into my life, because of disobedience. It's all about Him, not about me. And so Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Paul begins to discuss the function of the body and the role of each of us has. We all have something to give. You know, Paul begins to point out within the church there is both unity and there is also diversity. And Christ brings unity. When Christ is in the center of a body of believers, there is unity. When there's disunity, Christ is not the center, or has the headship in that body of believers. Because without Christ being at the headship of that church, there will be disunity. Only Christ can bring unity, and because we all have diversity, right? We don't all think the same. We all don't have the same culture. But He unifies us so that He gets the glory. The believers in the fellowship make up the local body to function in their giftings. I put talents. We all have talents and giftings. To encourage one another. In the faith, to be a blessing to each other, to make disciples, to be a light in a sinful, dark world. We live in a sinful, dark world. So He's equipping you to be His light, to use your gifts even out in the world, so that Christ will be revealed and glorified. We are all Christ's ambassadors. We represent him. Every country has an ambassador. And they usually try and pick the best person to represent that country. Guess what? Christ picked you to be his ambassador. We are all citizens of heaven. So our citizenship is not here. So the things of this world shouldn't really matter because we're not really part of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we're set apart. That's what the church is. We are set apart because of Christ now. Because we live differently. We ought to live differently. We ought to live and speak differently. To behave differently. The body of Christ is a family. But each person here, you got now brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no mom and dads in church. But we're also the bride of Christ. So the Bible says we are just simply passing through this temporal place. It's not our home. We're called to be different, not to conform to the pattern of this world, to be selfish. He's given us talents and gifts to be used for him, for he be glorified. Matthew 25, who would want to read Matthew 25? Matthew 25, 35 to 40. So who wants to read Matthew 25 to 35? Church is the body of believers. We're supposed to be helping. Helping the widows, helping the poor, sick. You know, you look at the early church, they started the hospitals. They started orphanages. They started a lot of things. Culture is because what we have today is because of Christians. Born-again believers, trusting God and doing what we're called to do. To be there in the world, helping. And so even bringing somebody in, when somebody comes, a stranger comes in, we give them food, we help them, bless them. This church has helped many people in the last year. In the last 10 years, we help. It seems like more and more every year we help. And we don't expect anything. But we're doing what God has asked us to do. And non-believers that we're helping. And they actually experience the love of Christ because they cry. They said, why would a church do this? They don't understand why a church would spend whatever amount of money buying food and gifts for Christmas. And they're like, because this is what the Lord wants. And you have that open door with them. It's amazing. Who wants to read 1 Peter 4? So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 to 11.
Thank you.
anyone ministers. All of us are able to minister to somebody. There's no exceptions. We're all children of God. We're all able to minister. He's able to, and He gives us the ability to minister to whatever level it is. First Corinthians 12, it talks, the body is not one member, but made up of many. Colossians 1, 16 to 18. How's that? Put that up. For by Him all things were created, that in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Jesus created everything. It's all for Him. And He is there. And He is before all things. And Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church. Christ is the head. I'm not the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. I'm only co-shepherd. He is the head shepherd. He is the head of this body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have primacy. Does He have primacy in my life? Does He have primacy in this church? As we stay connected to Jesus, there is unity because He holds us together. Romans 12, we'll go back to Romans. There were some side notes I thought I would do. Go back to Romans 12. My heart is in both this message. I've been saying this for years. I would love to see people in the congregation step out in their gifts. I've said this as long as I can remember. I'd love to see people step out in their gifts. So many people in this church have gifts. And I always wonder, why aren't we stepping out? It's not my show. I'm here to help. I'm here to lead. I'm here to guide. I'm here to teach. I'm a teacher. I love to teach. I love to study. I love to dive in. What are some of your gifts? How can you be a blessing to this congregation? If it's music, singing, drama, you guys are able to do dramas, right? That was an awesome drama you guys did. I would encourage you to do that often, not just a one-time show, but it's a one way for ministry to help. Even Elijah could be the drummer. Because I'm not going to be the drummer. Zane could be the next lead head singer. Or Eric. I don't know where Eric's going to play the bass. You ladies, he could be. Right? But what gift has God given you to be a blessing within this church? So we being made many are one body in Christ. We all work together. Having the gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let's use them. I just underline that. Let us use them. Sometimes we get fearful. But if things are done biblically, and there is what the Word of God says, not trying to put in other things, right? You walk in it. If it's prophecy, let him prophesy. The force of his faith, ministry, ministering to people's hearts, teaching, exhorting, with exhortation, right? We read Romans 12:8, so Romans 12:6-8, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, our motivation of the gifts to mature the believer. I think it's Ephesians 4:20-25, I think, something like that. Kind of going off memory. But it says, the gifts are to mature the believer. Ephesians 4:24-23, I can't remember. But it talks about maturing the believer. Do we want to become more mature? Because that's what he wants. He wants his children to become more mature. And to walk in the fullness of Christ. So prophecy is one of the gifts. I'm going to kind of go quickly through. Prophecy is one of the gifts that declares the truth. Sometimes we think prophecy, we only think of the how people predict, or tell something about the future. But the New Testament context specifies, specifically here in this passage, it's not speaking so much foretelling in a prediction sense. Rather, it's speaking forth the Word of God with clarity and in authority. So when we are prophesying, we're speaking the Word of God with clarity in authority. We're proclaiming it. 1 Corinthians 14:1-5. Have that. There's a lot about prophecy, and sometimes we have taken prophecy out of context. 1 Corinthians 14:1-5 says, there we go. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Do we desire to use spiritual gifts? But especially that you may prophesy. Oh my goodness. This is interesting. You should read this chapter, the full chapter. Prophecy is better than speaking in tongues. You know that? And we're going to read why prophecy is better than speaking in tongues. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation. This is why we ask to speak the Word of God boldly, right? In authority. Because then he who prophesies, who speak it in with authority and with boldness, we're proclaiming the Word of God. God gets the glory. We're edification and exhortation and comfort to men. When you speak the Word of God boldly to men and women, they are encouraged. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Edification, when we ask for prophecy, when we speak in it with boldness, we're speaking the Word of God with boldness, without compromising the Word of God, we're proclaiming the Word of God. It's about edification for the body of Christ. Bless you, John. Verse 24. of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. Did I put that up there? But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. When somebody who comes in into this church and is the gift of prophecy, the word of God being spoken with boldness, unashamed, and hears the word of God, that prophetic word, if they're speaking the word of God. It's not something that the Lord said, I need to say this. But we're speaking with boldness the word of God. Edifying, building the church up, building up one another in the word of God. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. The word of God exposes things and he repents. Falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Isn't that something? You should read it. It's not about tongues. It's about edification, building up the church. It's about proclaiming the word of God with boldness. When we're in the world, we're speaking the word of God in boldness. Not watering down the word of God, but speaking it with the truth and love, because Christ gets the glorification. Tongues is about edifying myself. And that's a totally different thing. And I'm not against tongues. But there's a time and place for it. It's about building up, encouraging. So some people can serve ministries, which means that God has gifted them with the ability to meet physical needs of the church. Corporately, individually, members of the congregation. There's a lot of different, like cleaning, baking, preparing, moving. I don't know, I just came to my mind with baking. It's serving. It is backwards from what this world thinks of. When we serve, it's actually humbling yourself. Christ came to serve, not to be served. He lowered himself to the most lowest place. The scripture says, if you humble yourself before him, he will lift you up. It's not, you do it because I want to be like Christ. It's not about a platform. Some people can teach effectively, which means to really explain what the word of God says in context, biblical context. Not what I think, but back it up what scripture says. Some people have a special ability to motivate, to encourage, to help develop the truth in someone's life. Come alongside them to help develop and strengthen that person. Right? Some of us do that. Exhortation, motivation. Exhortation and motivation serves up the gifts of God within others. Some people have the capacity to contribute to the needs of others. That's a great gift. Because we need all those different gifts to operate fully in the body of Christ. Because we all have different gifts. We should never be jealous of what gift somebody else has. We should say, Lord, thank you for the gift you have given me. And Lord, help me to walk in that gift, so that I be a blessing to whoever in that congregation, or maybe in the global church. Some are good at leading. Some are have good governed diligence. Others are gifted and show mercy to help the hurting and needy by visiting, feeding, caring, and praying for them. This gives you an overview of what each of us, that Paul mentions, we all have a gift. That's only, like I said, there's other chapters, but this is just in Romans 12. The main purpose of these verses is to tell people to use whatever gift they have zealously, be using them without holding them back. Step out in faith. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is encouraging, then encourage. If your gift is giving, give generously. Don't hold back your gift. Don't be half-hearted in applying your God-given abilities. Be fully committed to the abilities that God has given you. Don't let busyness of this world or selfishness lead you to neglect your gift. I always hear, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. One reason why I'm so busy is because I take on more than what I'm supposed to take on. I had to pull back on a lot of things because I was too busy. We make ourselves too busy. You believe that? We make ourselves so busy that we're not using the gifts that God has freely given us because of our business, because we want to blend into this world. And to have what the world has rather than what God has in store for us. Use your gifts to the best of your abilities with diligence, cheerfulness, with generosity. I realize how easy a person can become lukewarm or neglect their spiritual gifts. Because we can become lukewarm and neglect our spiritual gifts. We have excuses. You know what? Lord, forgive me for neglecting the gifts that you have given me. Today, Lord, I want to be your gifts being used in my life, that I want to step out in faith and trust you. Lord, whatever it is not of you that I'm taking on, Lord, I want that of just to fall away. I'm here to serve you, Lord. They all require sacrifice. You know, there's sometimes I do not want to study or have proper preparation. There is times I feel like, why do I always have to prepare? Right? I could get that way. But God's put in my heart to prepare. I'd love to read. I'd like to study. I'd like to teach. It's a spiritual gift that God revealed to me and I took on. It's hard work. Sometimes you wonder if you're doing any good. I wrote that down. I did too. And I wonder that. Am I doing any good? I'm a perceiver. Perceivers see things. And I get very disheartened. And that's one of the falls about being a perceiver. So I see the potential in everyone here. And I know as a perceiver, I can get bitter, I can get resentful. That's one of the falls about being a perceiver. And where I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I repent of my attitude. But Lord, I desire that you would work in everyone's heart. So that they will walk in the giftings they have given them. That they would walk and truly trust you. Sacrifice. There is times when even myself, people go, well, how about do this? Do that. Saturdays are my day where I really prepare. And I miss out on a lot of things. There is sacrifice when God's called you to different gifts, have different gifts. I hope that we're not neglecting things in our life because we don't want to miss out what the world wants us to have. Hopefully our fear is not missing out on what God wants in our life. What does God want in your life? How does God want you to gift that he has freely given you right now? How does he want you to walk? So we need to guard our hearts. I need to guard my heart. What? And let's not think somebody else can take care of this need. I've done it for my part for many years. That's a wrong attitude. Just pray that, Lord, I pray that even this morning, Lord, that we would use our giftings. Lord, where there is times, I pray for refreshing. I really pray for that. Lord, I pray for refreshing for everyone here. I pray, Father, where we have neglected our gifts, Lord, that you would forgive us. And Lord, that we would not no longer desire to neglect the gift or gifts that you have freely given us. And Lord, that we would not become resentful, but Lord, that we would trust and depend on you. Lord, that we would desire to see your body, your church, locally and globally grow. And thank you, Lord, that we are part of that. I thank you, Lord, that we are not going to miss out on things, Lord, but you bring us the best things. You give us the best things. You allow us to see lives being transformed. You see how people are broken and coming in and being transformed and given new lives. And Lord, thank you that we get to see that. And we just pray, Father, for the lost. We pray, Lord, even as I mentioned this morning, for those whose family members don't know you, or even there's strife and bitterness in families. Lord, I pray for healing and restoration in families. Father God, where there's walls of bitterness, that you tear those walls down. And Lord, where there's just things that are not of you, Lord, operating in our own lives, that you reveal those. And Lord, that you bring freedom and restoration. And Lord, that we be doers of your word, not just Lord, that we take hold of what your word says and apply it to our very lives. But Lord, that we would desire to meditate on your word more and more each day. Lord, that we would become more like Christ, become more mature. Lord, that we wouldn't be just drinking milk, but Lord, we would be eating meat and chewing on the word of God. So Lord, I pray as we go out today, Lord, that you protect our minds. I pray for your hedge of protection over our minds. Around us. Lord, apply the blood of Christ over us, Lord. Lord, let us have desires that would line up to your word. Lord, let us be unashamed. And I thank you, Lord, that for the places where you have placed us, let us be blessings to our workplaces, to the people that we rub elbows with outside of this place. We pray, Lord, that you would be exalted in all things. Because all you said, all things were created for you. So Lord, we want you to be glorified in us and through.